Chapter 3. You may well wonder why there has been no account of Sunny Baudelaire in the first two chapters of this book, but there are several reasons why this is so. For one thing, Sunny's journey in Count Olaf's car was much more difficult to research. The tracks made by the tires of the car have vanished long ago, and so many blizzards and avalanches have occurred in the Mortmain Mountains that even the road itself has largely disappeared. The few witnesses to Olaf's journey have mostly died under mysterious circumstances, or were too frightened to answer the letters, telegrams, and greeting cards I sent them requesting an interview. And even the litter that was thrown out of the window of Olaf's car, the clearest sign that evil people have driven by, was picked up off the road long before my work began. The missing litter is a good sign, as it indicates that certain animals of the Mortmain Mountains have returned to their posts and are rebuilding their nests. But it has made it very hard for me to write a complete account of Sunny's travels. But if you are interested in knowing how Sunny Baudelaire spent her time while her siblings stopped the caravan, followed the path of the stricken stream, and struggled against the snow gnats, there is another story you might read that describes more or less the same situation. The story concerns a person named Cinderella. Cinderella was a young person who was placed in the care of various wicked people who teased her and forced her to do all the chores. Eventually, Cinderella was rescued by her fairy godmother, who magically created a special outfit for Cinderella to wear to a ball, where she met a handsome prince, married him soon afterward, and lived happily ever after in a castle. If you substitute the name Cinderella with the name Sunny Baudelaire, and eliminate the fairy godmother, the special outfit, the ball, the handsome prince, the marriage, and living happily ever after in a castle, you will have a clear idea of Sunny's predicament.
"I wish that baby orphan would stop that irritating crying,"
Count Olaf said, wrinkling his one eyebrow as the car made another violent turn.
"Nothing spoils a nice car trip like a whiny kidnapping victim."
"I'm pinching her as often as I can," Esme Squalor said, and gave Sunny another pinch with her stylish fingernails. "But she still won't shut up."
"Listen, Toothy," Olaf said, taking his eyes off the road to glare at Sunny. "If you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about."
Sunny gave a little whimper of annoyance and wiped her eyes with her tiny hands. It was true that she had been crying for most of the day, throughout a long drive that even the most dedicated of researchers would be unable to trace, and now, as the sun set, she still had not been able to stop herself. But at Count Olaf's words, she was almost more irritated than frightened. It is always tedious when someone says that if you don't stop crying, they will give you something to cry about, because if you are crying, then you already have something to cry about, and so there is no reason for them to give you anything additional to cry about, thank you very much. Sunny Baudelaire certainly felt she had sufficient reason to weep. She was worried about her siblings, and wondered how they were going to stop the runaway caravan from hurtling them to their doom. She was frightened for herself, now that Count Olaf had discovered her disguise, torn off her beard, and trapped her on Esme's lap. And she was in pain from the constant pinching of the villain's girlfriend.
"No pinch,"
she said to Esme, but the wicked and stylish woman just frowned as if Sunny had spoken nonsense.
"When she's not crying," Esme said, "the baby talks in some foreign language. I can't understand a thing she's saying."
"Kidnapped children are never any fun," said the hook-handed man,
who was perhaps Sunny's least favourite of Olaf's troop.
"Remember when we had the quagmires in our clutches, boss? They did nothing but complain. They complained when we put them in a cage.
They complained when we trapped them inside a fountain. Complain, complain, complain. I was so sick of them, I was almost glad when they escaped from our clutches. Glad?
Count Olaf said with a snarl.
We worked hard to steal the Quagmire fortune, and we didn't get a single sapphire. That was a real waste of time.
Don't blame yourself, Olaf,
said one of the white-faced women from the back seat.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Not this time, Olaf said. With the two orphans squashed someplace under a crashed caravan, and the baby orphan on your lap, the Baudelaire fortune is mine. And once we reach the Valley of Four Drafts and find the headquarters, all our worries will be over.
Why? Asked Hugo, the hunchbacked man, who had previously been employed at the carnival.
Yes, please explain,
said Kevin, another former carnival worker.